And we have our opening.
I'm going to leave out the part where you said we have our opening. I'm horrible.
But we do have our opening.
Leave it in.
I don't know what you're talking about!
5-4-3-2-1.
5-4-3-2-1!
What the f*** is going on down there?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to WTF at TFW, which is not a Twitter account, as much as we would love it to be. It's not, so deal with it! My name is Vangelis, and my gain
is way too high.
So now it's much better. I am joined today by Aaron.
Still dirt, still dusty.
Yeah, pulling it together.
Yeah. Just a long day on a dirty construction site.
That's the name of a movie I saw once. Pornographic movie.
Right.
Also here with us today is Lupus Convoy!
Hello, everyone. Glad I'm finally back.
And someone just said hello back!
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Also here with us today is... Omegas Prime.
On my second podcast of the day. Let's do it!
Russian Roulette.
Overachiever.
Yeah, jeez. Although I did just release Primetime 11 today. Speaking of overachieving,
no,
let me pat myself on the back.
Not overachiever, I just do anything for attention.
Me too!
I am something of a polyphonic prostitute.
That's why I am bleeding openly right now.
But you get paid for it? Well, I guess YouTube.
Funny story, I have to fill out a W-8 form for Blip TV. I've never filled out an American tax form before, so it's like the most adventurous thing I've done all year.
Your most adventurous thing ever this year.
Doing a tax form. Yeah. Who
you
wants to be
a
me?
Strange life.
Ha-ha!
1, 2, 3, not it.
Let's open up with a news story that I'm unable to really say much about, which is that the Transformers Prime soundtrack is available for listening at Brian Tyler's website. So before our recording, I went to look at his website, and I have problem loading page. So I'm curious if maybe that thing that happened the last time a Transformers show's soundtrack went up for listening only happened, because I have not been able to get on his site all day. Aaron, you said you were able to get to one?
The site loads if you get rid of all the cruft after the basic URL, it loads. And he has the opening, I believe it's the opening theme or just the general theme as up. And you scroll all the way down to the bottom. And at the bottom, at least at the time of this recording, it says coming soon for Prime.
Yeah.
So,
I'm assuming... Yeah. And I mean, my assumption is that the same thing happened as with the animated soundtrack, which is they realized, oh, no, wait, people might just start downloading all this or stream recording all this. Although, unlike animated, perhaps Prime will actually release its soundtrack on a CD. That would be nice.
That would be cool.
I could go for that. So, Aaron, you got to listen to a track of it. It's the one from the opening of the show, you said?
It's the opening theme, yeah.
That should be the opening theme, is you performing it in a cappella.
Yeah.
Omegas, did you get to listen to any of this?
Unfortunately, it was down by the time I got around to it.
Mm. And Lupus, how about you? Did you get a...
I haven't even seen anything past the third episode of Prime, so I was like, maybe I'll check it out later someday.
I am amused that RC continues to kick ass in the soundtrack because she actually has her own listing.
That's not how you spell RC. So a 10 track.
It's another Scorponok.
A 10 track soundtrack. I would gladly buy it on disc. I would grudgingly buy it in digital form. Although, off iTunes, I'd much rather buy it on disc. But I'm a fuddy duddy like that. So, unfortunately, that's as far as I can really go, other than, I guess, just you guys. If this was available on disc, Lupus, I guess you'd need to have
actually watched the show.
Yeah, but...
Yeah.
If it was some neat instrumental music with a Transformers label on the front, would you be interested nonetheless?
Maybe.
Aha. And Aaron Omegas, how about you? Would you drop some coin for this soundtrack?
Yeah, I'd probably be more likely to buy the digital version since I have no use for physical media, it seems like, anymore.
Yeah, he's one of those.
I disagree.
I know, it's odd, but just recently I just kind of had the psychological tick over of what do I need this physical thing for.
You're becoming transubstantiated, or whatever the term is.
Yeah.
Your music can just be a concept that lives unphysically somewhere near your person.
Yes.
At least he's not some music hipster like you.
I am such a music hipster.
Probably something you've never heard about.
Yeah, I was about to make some joke about how I buy vinyl music, but then I realized there is actually vinyl music, so that's not really going to be riding the train that I was hoping to ride on. Omegas, would you pick up the soundtrack?
I'm not so much a soundtrack person.
Ooh.
I guess if I had actually gotten a bit of a listen to this, I might have been able to make a decision on that.
Yeah, I mean, the first track, Aaron said, is up there. I'll check it out sometime later, but... we all know what the first track. That's the easiest track to listen to in a video because there's not really any sound during the opening except for transformation noises and clunks. But hopefully this thing will be made available. When it is, I'll be sure to try to cover it on here. Because I like to buy music. Unless we have anything else to add to that, I guess we can move into our usual new picture picks. Lupus, lock and load that link.
Oh dear, you'd actually want a link?
Oh yeah.
Well, if you guys had gotten the PM as well.
I didn't get it. I was saying this before the recording. Apparently, Lupus is now the champion of the Radicons, as he is the one who gets the private messages about this kind of stuff.
Can I get that as a user title? That'd be awesome.
Champion of... See, it'd be the best if you're the champion of the Radicons, but you never customize a toy.
I do, but the one time I put something up of In Progress, I got nothing but, like, why are you using that mold? That looks tacky, and... It kind of shot me down. Like,
and he went like, one day, I'm going to come back here and I'll be the king of the Radicons and you all have to like what I do.
So I have to say, with the inflection you put on that too, I'm seeing the ethnic head bob body knot move. Why did you use that mold?
Because I'm gay. I'm supposed to use the ethnic head bob even though
ethnic head nod? Is that what we call it now?
What? Isn't that what he just said?
Yeah, that is what he just said, but I just processed it now. And,
you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I think I do, but that is a strange way to put it.
You gotta put the snaps in and the sachet.
Ethnic head nod. I gotta write that one down. Hang on.
Head bob.
Sorry, head bob. The head nod's different, is it?
Well, it a nod is up and down. The bob is the left to right.
Oh, no, you're damn.
Yeah, exactly.
With the accent, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah,
happy Cinco de Mayo, everybody. anyway, what's up?
Okay, so C Spray 10 sent me the...
I'm Oriental. Let's put it out there.
You're German.
As in, I'm a thing. I'm a Teutonic Oriental thing.
So C Spray 10 sent me a PM saying that he had listened to one of the previous episodes when we were talking about the WFC mold of Bumblebee, and that I would love to see a glyph, and surprisingly we had one that was already done by I can't even say the name.
Tabturf.
Yes. He's a Chimericon.
Yes, and he has a jellyfish for an avatar.
A jellyfish, it's a squid.
It's a squid or baby octopus.
I thought it was maybe a really tough, buff jellyfish from a distance.
It's baby Cthulhu. Let's get it right.
He's from Raleigh, which is a really funny town name. I just want to throw it out there.
Which kind of goes with Raleigh, yeah? I don't know.
Raleigh tapped to your... My apologies to Soundwave X. Was that the name? That we've managed to derail your link you sent to Lupus twice now. Once with the ethnic head bob and now with jellyfish.
It was C Spray 10. That's Soundwave X. Now you're giving credit to the wrong person.
I didn't write any of this down. I'm sorry.
This is why Lupus handles the Radicons. Only he gets it right.
This is what happens when we try to take part. We're like, no, let us help out. From Sound.
Names and reading, what's sound, the point?
Sound Warp 23. By the way, did I mention I'm half Chinese and half German?
Wow. You heard it here first, folks. So the name of the thread's called Simply Glyph, and it's a really well done feminized version of the WFC mold. And the one, the major things that he did was a complete paint over, which in a dark navy blue,
mm-hmm.
or is it navy blue or royal blue? Sorry. Came out looking really awesome. Gold face, pink lipstick, which is a nice touch. Shaved off the horns off of Bumblebee to give it a very feminine-looking glyph head. And removed the backpack or the back bumper, basically, of the vehicle. That's the only thing I really don't like is that lack of a bumper
or back
into the car. It still can be kind of pulled off with the WFC look, but if there was a way to just make that detachable or make it a shield or something, that would have really bumped it up a bit for me.
Hmm.
But other than that, it looks great. I agree that the removal of that does get rid of the backpack and does slender the figure a lot. And
for sure.
Honestly, it's kind of a feminine looking alt mode.
Yeah, yeah. Like it's very sleek, very
Svet?
Yeah, Svelte, is it? Or Svet? Is that you say it?
I thought it was Svet, but
yeah. Svelte. Svelte.
I was going for Svelte, but I'm not gonna.
Well, we can just make it Svet as a new word.
Yeah, it's for when it's robots, it's Svet. yeah, with the War for Cybertron thing, I don't mind the lack of the back as much, but it is definitely something you kind of double take at.
Yeah,
I gotta say, if there's something that doesn't really work for me, it's actually the lipstick.
Really?
I don't know why. It's something about it. I think if that was left gold, I would have bought into it more. I don't know. It might just be my aesthetic taste, though. I think it's because the pink stands out so much against all the other colors.
Yeah.
If it was blue, maybe. I don't know. Because, I mean, that's why the pink lips on Animated RC work for me, is that they are pink, but there's other pink around them, so you don't really see them. Whereas here, I'm really seeing that pink no matter what I do. Like, it's not really blending in, but that's, you know, that's aesthetics. It is a very, very cool idea, and I think that the, what did he say here? To feminize the head, aside from removing the horns, he also actually Dremeled down the chin, and I think that's a really cool idea.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, I think that's...
It's got to be the pink. That's what distracted me.
Yeah, he said that he Dremeled down the chin and the horns and the neck joint so that the head could go up a bit farther, and I'm just noticing that now, too. That's, definitely
excellent.
Pulling something off.
Excellent
yeah.
touch.
Oh, he says that he added in a back window on the rear.
Really?
Yeah, he also says he can't really see it. But I'm
cool.
Spot it now. No, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I can kind of see it. It's just that it looks like it's a really dark gray plastic.
It kind of just looks like shadows.
Yeah.
That's what I'm sort of seeing. But it is, it's a cool idea, and I think did we mention it on the podcast that part of the reason why this works is because this mold has kind of like a mono boob built in?
I don't think we did, but...
Because, yeah, this mold has both a mono boob and a very slender aesthetic that is not super tough guy.
Yeah, it's very feminine.
Yeah. No, it's cool. I like the blue. It's a very pleasant blue.
It's not in your face, but...
Yeah. Well, thank you once again for bringing to our attention some Radicon goodness. As apparently our official liaison to the Radicon community.
Woohoo!
My apologies to the Radicons for our, I guess now our habit of whenever something like this comes up, we'll derail it within a few seconds, but, you know.
Yeah, that happens.
Ich bin ein Hunanese. All I gotta say for myself.
I don't know German, so I'll go with that.
Yeah. Someone out there who knows German
is Chinese.
Hunanese, actually.
Hunanese.
I am 50% from Duttenstedt, small farming town, and I am 50% from the Hunan province.
Ah.
So when I bob my head, it is a multi-ethnic head bob. I'm still hung up on the whole ethnic head bob thing. That's the best term I've heard all night. Anyway, Aaron!
Yes, sir.
Give me a multi-ethnic new pick, please. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm still trying to stay away from movie toys because they're potentially spoilery for some reason. But
I mean,
a lot of movie toy stuff.
Yeah, did you want to bring up like what's particular, like Human Alliance or something?
All the Human Alliance stuff is looking really good.
Human Alliance, as far as I can tell, is non-spoiler. So
sure, for this, we'll say all the Human Alliance like videos that we've seen of PR there. Some of the names of the people that are going with them: Sergeant Chaos and Major Tungsten.
Major Tungsten. Chaos.
Really sure about that. And Spite Witwicky, that just sounds weird. But I don't know. Wait,
well, there's a spark normal, plug. But apparently, the guy who comes with the little helicopter is called something spark plug.
Really?
So that's kind of like their little nods to the other Witwickies.
Well, that's cool. No, they're all looking interesting. I'm glad to see that Human Alliance is going to be something more than, or significantly more than, the $30 or so line that it was before.
Yeah, yeah.
And
the weapon gimmick is kind of working on some of them, like that.
Yeah.
That trike. I forgot what the actual word for this is. Is it called a spider or something like that? Like the three wheeled.
I think that's a brand name.
I think, yeah, the brand name. Spider Roadster is a brand name.
Yeah, the spider, the gun that it turns into is pretty damn cool. Like, it just turns into this glowing barreled rifle.
It's still all about the helicopter minigun.
That thing's neat too. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're all looking really good. I think this may be the line that seems to be getting me more excited out of anything else. So many of the other toys are going to be like the eighth version of a Bumblebee that we've seen, or the ninth version of Prime. And at a certain point, you're just like, that's great. His hand comes out the other way. Ooh, yeah.
Well, it's unfortunate because, I mean, there's two cool-looking Optimus Prime toys, the Voyager and the Deluxe, which look neat enough.
Yeah,
but
at least those are cheaper. It's not like they're kicking out yet another Leader Prime.
Yeah, and I mean, and for the redone Ironhides, I'm in on those because I love the Ironhide movie design. But I mean, a lot of the Deluxes, I'm not really like the redo Deluxes. I'm just like, pff, I don't know. I'm gonna pass by the Wreckers. You know, they're neat, but the other big Human Alliance news is it looks like all the Wreckers are gonna get done in Human Alliance, or at least two of them of the three so far have been shown. And that got me really pumped because that means they're doing new, you know, large scale Human Alliance. And those were some of the most disappointing and also some of the best toys out of Revenge of the Fallen.
Yeah, well, it was kind of like a continuation of Alternators.
Yeah, exactly. And to do the NASCAR bots in that, I think it's beautiful. I mean, you keep that aesthetic alive. They are totally logical to do in that aesthetic. And because they're all kitted out with weaponry and whatnot, they could look a lot more interesting, or at least the engineering on them might have a bit more freedom in that they don't have to really worry if there's a huge rocket launcher sticking off the side. So,
yeah.
I don't know, the NASCAR guys, the Wreckers and the Dreads are still kind of like my focus in terms of toys for the movie. Although, I mean, there's the Leaders, you know, aside from the Bumblebee, I'm into the Leaders. A lot of the Voyagers I'm into as well. But a lot of the Deluxes are just hitting me short. Like, you know, the new Twins, the new Jolt, they all look the new Bumblebees, they all look really uninteresting to me, I gotta say.
I think it's one of those things where I'm kind of sarcastically saying, oh, it's going to be a good thing because I'll save my wallet.
No,
I think that's kind of cliched, but now I'm seeing these guys, I'm like, well, maybe my wallet's not entirely safe.
At least the Human Alliance stuff, the bulk of it is going to be these smaller ones. Because, I mean, they're doing Redux Human Alliance. They're doing a repaint of Sideswipe. Yeah, I totally want that. And they're doing
they already did a repaint of Sideswipe.
They're doing another one.
Oh, boy.
And they're doing a repaint. let's see. There's another repaint. Repaint Bumblebee. Human Alliance. Good toy, but I only really need the one.
We need to have another hand.
Yeah, that's right. To do my custom job for two hands.
Come on, you want more Sam Witwicky's running around.
Well, do you know? Okay, this isn't really a segue, but this is still Human Alliance. You know what was really cool about the Human Alliance things? Is apparently Human Alliance Ice Pick is Power Core Combiner's Ice Pick after his drones were blown up. Like, apparently that's in his bio it's in his bio on the package. After his Combiner team was destroyed, Ice Pick threw in with Sergeant Chaos.
So he's basically codependent.
Yeah, and it also means that Ice Pick now has had two entirely different molds for the same character in the space of a year for a guy who has been in nothing.
Which I think is kind of amazing. Power Core is the movie.
Well,
not
Power Core guys showed up in some of the Cyber Mission episodes or whatever they were called. You know, the CG show.
Oh, the web right. video stuff that we promptly forgot about after
the ones we were making fun
idea
of
for
so
conversion
much.
Was to blow up a gas station.
In the second, no, that was the Flash cartoon. These are the CG ones with the movie guys in them. But the second, I guess, quote unquote season apparently had Power Core guys show up like Smolder. So it was a precedent already set that the Power Core guys could be movie-verse. Although, I mean, they said basically the Power Core guys exist wherever you want them to. So I really want that Ice Pick because I'm like, you know, it's the same character. He's a toy-only character who now has two toys which are meant to be the same guy in the space of a year, and he's done nothing to warrant it. Good on you, Ice Pick. And he also turns into a giant chainsaw, which is kind of neat.
How could you not like somebody named Ice Pick? I mean, really.
Yeah. Or somebody called Ice Pick who turns into a chainsaw.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, he makes ice sculptures.
And I go like, why weren't you called Ice Saw? And he's like, shut up! I don't want to talk about it. Now, the Human Alliance stuff. I am really happy that it's turning out so well, because it was one of my favorite gimmicks from the movie line last time around. So I hope they can keep it up. Omegas, how about you? What would you like to talk about that was a picture?
It was a picture?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't want to talk about pictures.
I'm slightly distracted. My animator is sending me preview footage of a new opening.
I'm slightly distracted because I'm looking at this glyph custom, and that pink lipstick is just...
You love it. You know you do.
Snap!
Let's see, my choice in new pictures is also Dark of the Moon related, but it's mostly repaints, so there is absolutely zero spoilerage here.
Ah! Excellent.
Yes. We've got to see Ratchet and Bumblebee from the Scan series.
Yeah, and...
And...
I don't know.
I remember in Radicon, someone took a knockoff Starscream that was all clear plastic and redid it as a warping Skywarp. And I thought in a second, okay, if this was an actual product, I would buy it in a heartbeat. So of course Hasbro goes and figures out some way of doing that.
Well, did you see, you must've seen Sideswipe and Ironhide then.
I saw Sideswipe and Ironhide.
Cause I like how those two look, in both modes, but Ratchet and Bumblebee are kind of the opposite for me. And I think it's just, it proves that you kind of have to just throw the paint at the wall for this idea, because Sideswipe, the paint at the wall is take the vehicle mode, then just paint half of it and then see what the robot looks like. And on Sideswipe, it looks pretty cool. On Ironhide, I think it looks pretty cool. On Ratchet, it kind of looks okay, but on Bumblebee, it just looks weird.
I don't know so much on Ironhide. There's so little of it exposed in his robot mode. I'm kind of having a hard time, you know, finding all that clear plastic from vehicle.
That's what I kind of liked about his, because it was like the vehicle has the whole effect going on, then the robot kind of hides a bunch of it, and then on Sideswipe, the robot doesn't really hide it, but most of it's on his back. So it looks kind of like neat, but on Bumblebee, I'm guessing just because of the silver in his arms primarily, it just makes him look like he doesn't have any limbs.
Well, I kind of like the different visual representation that clear plastic kind of gives to some of them.
Yeah, I guess. I actually kind of like it on Ratchet, because it's full half and half.
Yeah. Well, I don't really like the angle they had on Ratchet's.
Oh, the doors.
I actually thought Bumblebee pulled it off the best, because that line is right down the middle. He got clear all the way to yellow.
The vehicle mode, I think all the vehicle modes work really well.
Yeah.
I'm mostly looking, because of that, I'm looking mostly at the robot modes. And I guess it's just because I felt that Sideswipe and Ironhide's robot modes pulled it off super well, considering these two didn't really do it for me as much. But the concept is a really great concept, I think.
Oh, yeah. I will stand and applaud Hasbro. You've figured out a way for me to buy one more Bumblebee.
Yeah.
I didn't think you had it in you.
Yeah, it's a great idea also, because this is the kind of thing that you look at and you'd go like, this is what Japan would do for like a contest prize.
Right, right.
Only these ones are going to be retail exclusives, and I mean, I don't mean to be pessimistic about it. I suspect the Scan series might shelf warm a little bit, but it looks really neat.
Yeah, it makes me wonder just how many of these this would actually apply to very well.
Yeah, I mean, this is 4 out of the 5 main Autobots I can think of that are on a deluxe scale, unless I'm missing one.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not thinking of Jazz, because his deluxe toy is pretty dire.
Right. What I do like about this is that I was always wondering, okay, you know, they're re-releasing the original Bumblebee mold from the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was going, okay, why didn't you use the preview one? Because that's the best one. You know, why would you use... You're reusing Canon Bumblebee again. No one likes that version. So this kind of explains it. You know, they're divvying up all these old molds. That's why here's the previous deluxe Ratchet coming back as well.
There's a ton of retailer exclusive division. Like, I mean, Space Case is a retailer exclusive, and he's the revelation on the other head for Terradive. And that deluxe Optimus Prime is apparently also a retail exclusive, and that's an entire mold that may be in that position. So it looks like retailers put in a lot of bids on, like, we want to be the only one with toys.
Yeah, a retail exclusive mold is so rare, though.
Yeah.
Though,
yeah.
Apparently Walmart's getting 8 per case, so...
Yeah, exactly.
And it might really going all out on that one.
It might end up like Chrome Ravage over here in Canada, where he was a full case, and then that just meant we saw hundreds of them everywhere.
Yeah, we kind of had that problem with the first wave of War for Cybertron. If your store got one of the preview cases with just Prime and Bumblebee, those things are probably
still there forever.
I had a forum spring question where someone was like, I have War for Cybertron Bumblebee, and so I was wondering, how rare is he in War for Cybertron Prime? And I was like, not super rare! You want to find Prime, I don't think you'll have problems.
Well, he's on the rarity scale.
Yeah.
All the way at the bottom.
Yeah, he's there. He has a rarity rating.
Yeah. Kind of had to dig in the dirt to get to the very bottom of the scale to find it, but...
Yeah.
Below the scale. Somewhere, you know, 12 feet below.
I'm glad somebody else is pumped about Scan Series to some degree, though, because I was really sure I was going to be the only one who showed any interest in it.
No, so. I think it is a fascinating little idea.
Yeah. It's the movie, so if you're gonna come up with things for the retailers to sell to make them happy, this is a way better idea than going just like, hey, let's make stealth Ratchet,
yeah,
stealth Sideswipe, you know? No, it's
here.
Let's cast him in translucent plastic and do a pretty damn interesting looking paint app.
Yeah.
It's a better idea than some other things that could happen.
I will say that it does remind me of, I don't know if you guys remember, but way back in the first movie was released, there was a e-hobby exclusive that you had to get through a lottery to get the two preview figures in clear plastic.
Yeah, and they were painted look like they were in re-entry, so they had like the glowing front.
I've got those, but that's what these remind me of. Like,
I almost bought those many times. Because they look marvelous in my
opinion.
Even
awesome.
The robot modes are debatable, but again, they were proof that it's like, just do that paint app to their alt modes and then just see what happens to the robot mode. And either it comes out surprisingly cool or it comes out a little bit funny looking. But
I thought it came out excellent. They're shining little gems in my collection that I haven't opened.
they were a cool idea too. The whole protoform thing, I'm kind of sad they never went back to try doing a Comet Transformer again.
As neat as it was, I think it's a little bit too gimmick.
I guess, but I was always hoping they'd try doing like one more for each movie. Like, let's do Ironhide, and then let's do like Bumblebee or something. Just have them turn into comets.
Yeah.
But
end, they'll have Jazz, and everyone will be like, oh, who's this?
I really love the preview Optimus Prime toy.
It's a pretty awesome figure.
Yeah. It's a good toy.
Mm-hmm.
I got to pull mine out again. I don't know where I put it. It's on a shelf somewhere. My own new pick. I got one quick one and then one real one. The quick one I just want to bring up is that Masterpiece Rodimus Convoy is getting a second release in September. There's a picture attached to this, you see. And apparently, it's just like I thought, they're gonna, take all the weak parts, especially in the legs, this thing says new parts are made to replace the weak spots, but I don't think that means, like, literally new components in the engineering, but I'm pretty sure it just means a strengthening of the construction. So I'm curious how that'll turn out. Wish I had the cash to just buy a second one. I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. For all you suckers out there that paid $250.
Yeah. This is why you always wait for the reviews first.
Gee, thanks, guys. Thank you so much. That just makes me feel all warm and fuzzy inside.
No worries. That's what I'm here for. But if you haven't picked one up yet, then definitely hold out and then see how this second run turns out. If I had $250 just fall into my hands, I'd go spend it on 3A toys. But if I hadn't heard of 3A, I would totally have gone to get this Rodimus Convoy just to see what the difference is. And I would have immediately flipped one of them and sold the other ones to...
I was going to say, aren't you complaining that you just had to fill out U.S. tax forms because all the internet monies you're bringing in?
Yeah, my whole averaging of about $50 a month, you know, is pretty crazy. yeah, Blip's all like, we're projecting about $600 a year for you. I'm like, oh man, that's like a whole $50 a month. I can buy 50 hamburgers a month. I can buy more than one hamburger a day for a month forever now.
You'll keep fed. It's the first step.
My actual new pick though is that we have some more updates on Project Deva, which is now being called Hercules, which is the Not Devastator combiner set being done by TFC Toys. They have revealed the leg robot in CG, and they had recently a prototype of the full combined form with the same pair of legs and the same pair of arms all put together, and it was hella big and looked pretty hella cool, and I would love to see one in person. I don't know if I'm going to actually be able to drop the money on it because it is so much stuff and there's so much other stuff coming out this year, but I'm really happy that project is moving forward and I think it's looking pretty neat. Did any of you guys see the pictures of the quote unquote combined mode so far?
Yes.
Yeah.
How's that look, eh? Looks
all of a sudden you're terribly Canadian.
Looks pretty cool, eh?
Well, it just makes me very glad that I'm not buying any Hasbro toys this year. Because I'll have the money.
Yeah, because all that money will go towards this.
Damn right.
It's like
it will.
Any other third project thing.
That's about a year's worth of money right there.
You're not attached to both those kidneys, are you?
You know, I was even looking at this thing going like, maybe I can figure it out. I mean, by the way, there was some other cool stuff in this story as well. They are doing transforming power core limbs, which look pretty neat. That's a great idea. I think that's an idea a lot of people even thought up the moment that we got the first Power Core toys in hand. They're doing more of those Headmasters.
That's what I've been wanting.
Yeah. They're also doing a Megatron Headmaster, which is kind of cool.
They're doing a Primar Motormaster. I need it.
They also had a colored version of their version of Reflector, or at least their camera bot, who they're doing actually in a more realistic black and silver color scheme. And it looks like the light fixture has been moved into the attached lens, so it's not going to be housed inside one of the robots. But this Devastator, again, I'm going to see what I can do to try to figure out how to budget for it. But I'm also now looking at, and this is what's going to kill me for the rest of the year. I'm now looking at 3A's Metal Gear Rex because they put up that video of how the LEDs work on the railgun, and now I'm like, I should figure out how I can get that. So. I don't know if it's going to happen. Hopefully, if I don't manage to pick this thing up this year, it'll still be kicking around next year. But there's just too much cool stuff out. Which is great, because it's much better than when you're in a position as a collector where you can't find anything you actually want to buy. Because then you start going, like, maybe I should just stop. Anyway, that's some new picks. Let's go to a brief bit of TFCon 2011 news. Simon Furman is going to be at his first Canadian convention at TFCon this year. So if you've never met Simon Furman, he's a fun dude to talk to because he is he's the cool British uncle you always wish you had. I'm guessing you guys have all met Simon Furman at some point.
No, he's kind of intimidating.
None of you have met Simon Furman at any point. Okay, well, all you guys should come down to TFCon in Toronto.
Okay.
All right, Aaron, You gonna come?
I guess I will.
Okay, good. I guess I'm just making assumptions because Furman used to be at like every single convention ever that would ever happen year after year, month after month. And then it kind of stopped a couple years ago because he got busy with having a life outside of conventions.
Yeah.
But it's cool that they got him coming. Always love talking to Simon Furman. He's a cool guy. So that was just my little spot of TFCon news. Let's dive right into what we got this week. I know there's some on-topic stuff, but I actually neglected to ask Lupus if he got any Transformers this week.
Oh, not Transformers. Well, no, yeah, I did, actually. Thanks to Motormaster and Nightsaber Amy.
Well, not actually Transformers. Oh, no, wait, they were Transformers.
Yeah, well, I mean, kind of backed up on what I got this week's.
Yeah. Well, what Transformers were they?
Rekkar and Perceptor.
Does that double up with anything that you guys got?
No.
I live in the boondocks and it takes me forever to get anything.
A lot of people are still looking for Rekkar. Let's go through yours first then. Because I'm interested mostly about what you think about their engineering.
Okay. Rekkar, I like. The neck, lack of neck motility doesn't really bother me. What I do really like though is the feet,
mm-hmm.
of all things. His transformation with the automatic flip down for the controls of the motorcycle, the handlebars.
Yeah.
The way that it just folds up, that's just awesome sauce to me.
I gotta ask you, have you looked up doing mods to him yet?
I have not. I know there's a mod kit out there to give an alternate head piece.
I mean mods to the toy so it doesn't break itself.
It breaks itself?
Oh,
is this welcome, the Yamato figure?
Welcome to the train. Okay, first thing, you see those... I don't know if you have them near you. You know those little nubs? See those little nubs on the inside of the handlebars?
Yeah.
Get out an X-Acto and slice those off. Because if you don't, apparently, this has been proven to happen, it will eventually, that automorph, or even just turning them, the rivet will shred through the brown plastic beneath the rubbery part. And that will break. Because those nubs don't actually do anything. They just add unnecessary resistance. Without the nubs, it still locks in place, so cut those nubs off. That's the big modification.
Not something you hear every day, kids.
Cut those nubs off.
Found that nail trimmers will work really good on that, and because all you got to do is lose some of that. A little bit of nub is still good, but don't leave the whole nub.
You got to slice the nubs. The other thing to watch out for, there's a few spots we found. Lupus, I was going to actually ask you how yours is holding up because we've been having our updates on our Rekkars week by week. The other spots to watch out for would be, you know, those hinges his shoulder panels fold around on.
Yeah,
those are not really in danger, but keep an eye on them because Gogdog had one crack open.
Oh dear.
And also take a look at the inside of his palm if you got him to hold his axe. There will probably be a white stress line.
Oh, God, yeah.
Now, don't worry about that white stress line, because only one person on the entire internet has had the hand actually crack open. But what we figured out is that, you know, that just all those damage points you notice are on the same color of plastic.
It's got to be a weak color of plastic.
Yeah, we figure that plastic just with that dye does not hold together as well. Like, that stress mark
it's
on the inside
of version of gold-plated... GPS.
Yeah, it's orange plastic syndrome. Like that stress mark on the inside palm is not actually the hand breaking. Apparently, and I'd never considered this before, but when you stick accessories into a hand like that's a friction joint, the plastic does stretch. It's just usually you don't see it. Whereas this stuff does not bond well with the color, so you do see it stretch, because the color doesn't stretch properly.
Oh my.
But Rekkar has been an oddly fragile toy. I didn't believe it either until everyone else told me, and I was like, oh, wow.
So how does he hold up to the one from the 3-pack?
I don't think I've read much on how Scrap Heap turned out. I know that United Rekkar exhibited some of the same problems.
God, that's horrible.
Like, also, again, this is one I'll tell you now so you don't get freaked out when you see it, but entirely just as part of the assembly process, the stem of the ball joint of his shoulder probably has white stress marks on it.
Oh, this is just, like, heartbreaking. Because I really do like this mold.
I do too.
Hey, okay, I got this great toy. What do you?
Well, I can
you
tell you.
You're breaking it for me.
Any stress marks you're seeing, you don't actually have to worry about. But That's why I'm telling you now, because that's
just the nubs.
Yeah, it's those other stress marks in the orange plastic are just because that dye does not bond with that plastic well. So those stress marks are they're exhibiting a stress that all plastic goes through in these toys. It's just this is the first time that you see it, no matter what you do.
This is heartbreaking.
So be aware. That said, go buy a second one so you can have him ride himself.
We had to go like across the state, like into the boondocks, where you hear the dinner near, 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 just to find one. So I'm counting my lucky stars because I don't think we're going to be seeing any more.
But if you do, feel no guilt about it and just grab the.
That's
why
I'm going to try to get Scrappy.
Oh yeah, because I have two Rekkars, so I have Rekkar Intercourse in my hands right now, and it's really solid and tight. That came off badly.
Yeah,
I didn't think it came off that bad for the picture that I saw.
Oh, all right, that's good.
what else? I got Perceptor as well.
How are you finding his transformation?
Okay, I really hate those frickin' arms. Really, the shoulders and the arms.
So do your shoulders not lock? Does that whole assembly not lock that well for you?
I had to like it locks, but it doesn't feel right. Like it seems very anti. Just not. It doesn't feel aesthetically right.
Yeah, there's something funny in there.
It's not natural.
I was saying before that there's no reason why those shoulder panels can't clip into the chest somehow.
Ugh.
That would have fixed everything, I think. Because it relies on all the backpack parts clipping together. And again, thanks to GOG got a bum one. A lot of people actually got a bum one, where that backpack stuff clips together, kind of, but then pops itself apart really easily.
It's... That's me.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. That's what I got for official. Oh, I did get another Jazz, which go ahead.
How's the Jazz, or is he not opened up?
He's not opened up. He's waiting until BotCon, where I can get a G2 sticker set if Repro Label shows up.
Awesome. They'll be there. If not, they'll be at Captured Prey?
Yeah.
Right.
Is that where they were last year, where Captured Prey had all their stuff?
Yep.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I bought Repro Labels from Captured Prey, so yeah.
Captured. Awesome. Captured Pre-Pro Labels.
Some.
That's a portmanteau. How do you find... I just wanted to ask one more question about Perceptor. Aside from the engineering, I found his color scheme was real spot on, but I'm curious how you found it. Like that green...
You know what? I like it. It's... If it's not spot on, it's good enough to my memory. And I had like four or five Perceptors that I used to actually take to science class and use as a microscope. But yeah, it's pretty spot on. Besides the backpack, I'm a little upset over his microscope. Like he really can't do much with it. It just kind of sits there on his shoulder blades.
Yeah.
Like it would be cool if it could just pivot up a little bit, or if it had an extra joint so you could put that sight scope over his face.
Yeah, like if there was just one more joint somewhere in that thing.
Yeah. Or you could, like, actually pivot the whole thing. It seems kind of like, oh, here, fuck, it's on.
Yeah. You got a huge cannon on your shoulder, by the way. Have fun. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Excellent.
Like, we have it. Oh, I've got this whole, like, LCD screen that pops up, but it's nowhere near my face.
There's a targeting site up there somewhere. If someone could use it, please.
Throw the minicons up there. They can use it.
Yeah, I in the end of the day, I actually kind of I ended up really liking that Perceptor, but I know
it's good
that
as a display piece.
Part of the reason
all of it.
Yeah, like I got lucky on mine, so that helps me like it more. But I know that if his backpack kept coming apart, I would be sick of him pretty fast.
Sick of.
Yeah, I know GOG was, as far as I know, pretty tired of that as well. If it helps at all, check out the feedback thread, because a lot of people spent a lot of time figuring out exactly how the hell that whole system is supposed to work, and there's a few workarounds people came up with, but they're not. Some of them are grind the plastic pretty hard, but nonetheless, it's Reveal the Shield stuff. And finding it at all is pretty damn cool, especially
Rekkar.
That's the
thing, I didn't find it. Somebody else had to find it for me.
Having someone else find it for you at all is also pretty damn cool.
So my hat, as always, goes off to those wonderful two, Nightsaber Amy and the Motor Master.
Absolutely. All right, let's move into Aaron and Omegas. You guys got the same thing at some point in your hauls.
Yeah, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So what were the shared things that you got?
Wheeljack and Thundercracker?
Yep.
Yeah, the new guys from what, wave 4, I want to say, of Generations?
Yeah, whatever the last wave is.
All right, let's talk about the most interesting one first. How about that Thundercracker?
Yeah, I went to compare it to my BotCon Thundercracker.
Oh, you're rich.
And it just exploded. Since it had no value anymore, it decided to take its own life.
Yeah, that happened to mine. Mine crumbled to dust along with my Shatterglass Rodimus. I don't know why he did that, but his head just fell off as well. So
I'm so glad I can't find those things then.
No, it's honestly totally different color scheme other than the fact that he's Thundercracker colored.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a more royal blue or deep blue and completely different schemes. So it's a different toy.
Yeah. That's where I was with it as well. I looked at it and I was just like, this blue is, it's not only a different blue, but it's like, it's a chrome blue. Whereas the BotCon one to me was a bit of a flatter blue.
Yeah, it was flatter and more towards the baby blue.
Yeah.
Realm. So it's good. I ended up with my haul through a case set. So he was kind of the consolation prize out of the group. So it wasn't one I was actively going for. Just I had to get it in order to get my Wheeljack and Warpath.
All right. Mm-hmm. That's a spoiler for the rest of your, Omegas, as someone who I'm assuming did not own the BotCon Thundercracker, how are you finding Thundercracker?
Here's the thing. Not only did I not own the BotCon Thundercracker, I had realized at one point that I had no incarnation of G1 Thundercracker in any way.
Ooh.
Really?
Like, I never, like, even in the homage territory, I didn't get, like, any of the Armada repaint. I didn't get like the Robot Masters version. Nothing. Like I think the closest I came was the Titanium figure, and that hardly counts as G1 in design.
It's the Tetra Jet, right?
Yeah. So this was my first. This is kind of my first like proper Thundercracker, which is nice after, you know, IDW doing a good job of trying to make me like Thundercracker as my favorite Seeker.
Yeah, I'm this is a bit of a tangent, but I am really digging him in the new comics. So it helped, you know, buying the toy again, and not only that, but buying the Seeker mold for the umpteenth time again, it helped lessen that for me as well.
Yeah, I'm glad I like this mold so much, because transforming these things back and forth every time a new one comes in does get a little frustrating.
Well, every time I transform that mold, and every single time I do it, just a little bit more, just another micrometer, I go towards, wow, I'm tired of this mold, and I think it could be done way better if they just made a new one. It's because it's become dated, as depressing as that is to say. That mold has become hella dated.
I still enjoy it, though. Yeah, I commend Hasbro for having the guts to actually release the mold to retail a good 8 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure it's a new casting or something, because he's not nearly as loose and wobbly as I was
afraid
going to be.
Yeah, like the head on mine is like scary tight almost. Like I'm used to all these others where the neck joint is so loose I can like grab hold of the tail fin on the back to move it around. Not happening on Thundercracker. If I want to move his head, I have to pull his back off and then. Rotate it.
I can move it with a little bit of grunt.
I can hear the grunt as it's happening.
It's left. No, he's looking right.
Oh. I meant those little skittering noises, not
no.
not the that was going on there. But I mean, feel free to keep doing that. I'm not complaining.
No, mine actually was so tight in the cockpit double flip around that. The first time I could not get his chest all the way closed back again.
Yeesh.
It's like, I know I have this mold like 43 times. Am I doing something wrong?
I have it 43 times, but when's the last time I've actually transformed it?
That's true too, though.
That's what happened to me. I didn't have trouble transforming it, but I did actually pause for a second. And I was like, I feel like I'm going to miss something here. Because I've not actually played with this toy itself for years. Like at least a year and a half, maybe. Okay, so not years.
Between all the different ones, I've probably transformed this toy good 50 times, yet every single time I will still forget to close his nipple wheels.
Me too! Every time! Those nipples elude me. Story of my life, the nipples elude me. What? Anyway. Huh? enough about Thundercracker. Let's go into Wheeljack, because he's newer, and he is hopefully, in your guys' cases, shiny, shiny white.
Yeah, I have a little bit of overpaint on my guy's left foot. He's got a couple of flex, but
oh no, really? A little bit of overpaint.
It's a terrible tragedy, really.
That's awful. That's the worst thing that could happen to somebody's Wheeljack.
A little bit of overpaint. I have a little bit of underhead.
I don't know what that means.
Sounds kinky, though.
Yeah, man, it does. I got some underhead action. Wow. That's quotable. I'm remembering that one. Somebody in the thread, please reply. Using the term underhead.
Sign up on the boards is underhead.
That's an awesome Transformer name. Underhead! Transform! Turns into like a Zamboni or something.
Yeah, all the same basics as the track mold, except for Zomgihi shorter.
Yeah, ruin the toy, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, hang on a second. Let me pause for a second. Omegas, explain. What could possibly be worse than a little bit of paint overspray? Like, what happened to yours? Is it broken in half or something?
No.
I mean, it's not like the head's missing.
I'm crying inside. I don't know how QC issues like that happen, but someone at the factory didn't notice that upon transforming it to put it in package, the head flew off.
Yep, so you got Wheeljack in the mail, and he has no head.
No head. No, I've given him one because I've drawn two eyes and a frowny face on his ball joint neck.
Oh my.
That's funny.
That's like, I have not heard of something like that in ages. That's amazing.
Yeah, isn't it?
I mean, from my, you know, from my perspective of not having to deal with having a headless toy.
You know, it's just oh, this is how my luck runs, because I'm the one that's going, well, you know, they did one in Energon, but, you know, they gave him, you know, mustard plastic in the wrong name. Well, we did one in Alternators, but they made him blue. Yeah. You know, just like, okay, I'm the one who spent years nitpicking what Wheeljacks they have given us. Now that we have a completely proper one, no head.
Like, who's that order for? Oh, he's the guy who hates all our Wheeljacks. Spit in his. I can't do that. All right, take the head off. So aside from the decapitation factor, Aaron, you mentioned, you know, oh my god, it's short, but are you finding the height really to be very detrimental?
No.
Is it hard to notice when you're...
No, he is just a hair shorter than, like, the Thundercracker I have sitting here. Mm. But it's not like he's Minicon sized or basic size. He's still deluxe sized, just a head shorter or a half a head shorter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it's enough, a head shorter. Yeah. Yeah. Pity is me.
Oh, I didn't even realize. Wow. That's insensitive to say.
Yeah. But he's shorter, but it's a within the standard character range. Cause I mean, I can sit here and grab Lockdown, and he comes to about movie Lockdown's waist. Mm-hmm. They're both deluxes, though. So
isn't that kind of G1? I mean, Wheeljack was kind of a short figure.
Wheeljack was a little bit shorter than everyone else in figures. So
yeah, it never
in the realm of things, he is probably towards the shorter end of deluxes. Yeah. But we have enough guys that, you know, like I said, Lockdown. He comes to Lockdown's waist. The top of Wheeljack's head is Lockdown, movie Lockdown's waist.
His height just, I knew about it going in, and it just never really bugged me. I don't know.
No, it doesn't really bother me either. It's just funny to see the reviews are like, what? It can't extend another quarter inch? That's the end of the world.
Well, Omegas, I'm curious how you felt about the height and whether or not you feel your feelings on it might be getting colored somewhat by the fact that yours does not have a head.
It's kind of hard to determine the overall height when I can't determine how tall it is.
Yeah, part of the height's missing on mine.
I'm not too bugged by the shorter legs. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really get me too much. Like, I do appreciate how much went into the toy in order to make it more, you know, to make it closer to the original figure. Yeah. And, you know, and the shorter height does play into that a little bit. But I was the one going, well, you know, I was the one saying that the original toy would look much better as Wheeljack in the first place, in the vehicle mode and such. And yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. And I appreciate, you know, the new bumper, the new wings. I think it's clever as hell to actually turn these 3mm pegs into socket wrenches too.
I love that. It's the whole way they did that stuff and making it so those wrenches can store in his legs. And I actually found you can basically, from car mode, just pull them off the side of the car mode and stick them there, and they'll stay there for the whole transformation. You don't have to worry too much about the parts forming side of it on him at all.
Yeah.
I think they did a great job of, like, that to me was the ultimate evolution of what they started with Sideswipe and Sunstreaker. Just that whole thing of, like, how, we're going to take a mold and make it so it has a modular transformation that'll work for two guys, that'll make them look a lot more different than if we just swap their heads, pretty much. I dig that toy.
Yeah, it's definitely something I want to see more. I want to see more of this.
Yeah. And Aaron, you also got a Morpheth, didn't you?
Yes, I got a Morpheth.
I hate you.
He's very Zowie Kapow.
I bet he is.
Yeah.
But is he Blam?
Yeah, not specifically.
If I had a Warpath, it would be pretty Blam. I don't have one. It's not Blam.
Yeah. Awesome mold. I got to mess with Gogs last weekend as I was there doing some maintenance. But yeah, it's pretty cool transformation. It's sad that, you know, these are always like the end of line guys, and it seems like then it's time to change aesthetic or change something so that by the time the next line comes around, they're still trying to figure out the ins and outs of this design, and till you get to the end of the line and you get another really neat one and start that cycle over again.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate. It almost makes you wish, like, that any line could go for one wave longer than the usual lifespan.
Right.
Right.
But yeah. that's great. And yours is a Hasbro Toy Shop one?
It was Big Bad.
Big Bad. All right.
Because Big Bad had a order where you could get the three guys that all came in that last wave.
Yeah.
That were unique to that wave, yeah. For 45. And it was kind of pricey, but at the same time, you know, $15 a piece isn't bad. And I figured that my odds of ever seeing these in retail were in the slim to none range. And I did not want to miss Warpath, and mostly didn't want to miss Wheeljack. So
I really don't want to miss Warpath. And I got pre-orders in a Big Bad, but I'm starting to wonder if also I should just look for one at BotCon and hopefully not pay over $25 for it.
That's
yeah,
my goal.
I could see Warpath going for that, and Wheeljack maybe going for $15 to $20.
I will give you this. Over at Hasbro Toy Shop, they're starting to take down some of the later run figures that they know that are done. Like, you can't, like, Heavy Tread and the last Power Core wave is gone.
Oh.
But Warpath, that was listed as, like, shipping at the end of this month over there, he still has an active listing out of stock, but apparently he's not done quite yet. So BBTS might come through on that one.
I hope so. I hope so. I certainly don't, I'm not going in going like, yeah, BBTS, I'm holding a pre-order, pfft. But I know it's happened in the past where they take pre-orders and then, you know, if something doesn't go right, it's got to go first in, first come, first serve. First in, last out. and I was one of the last ones in, I think, before that pre-order closed. So, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Damn, Warpath. I got something Transformers-y this week that I'm pretty sure none of you got. But first, I'm going to mention that as a bit of a surprise to me, I got Blesser in the mail.
Yes.
Nice.
Because
he's
mine.
You know that, right?
Huh?
He's mine. It says so on the index card.
No. Mine says it's mine.
Mine says it's mine. We're gonna have to duel for it, sir.
Let's fight. Yeah.
Bring down the cage.
I popped mine open. Nothing's broken. The card was a bit bent, but it was pretty easy to smooth out. And Blesser is great, and he represents something that was really great. I honestly was not thinking I was going to get one, because I think I got in on that list pretty late as well, and I was content just going like, well, I donated more money. That's cool. So when I saw the envelope, I was kind of like, hey, cool. I got in on it. And Blesser is totally sidearm in reverse colors with a blue face. But he represents something great. And I want to bring up, actually, there's an eBay auction right now that's currently running. And this has been a bit of a disappointingly aggro topic on the boards, I've found. Are people arguing over the reselling of Blesser, like, really vehemently on either end? All I'm going to say is that I think if you... Unless you're in real financial dire straits, if you just got Blesser in the mail and threw him on eBay for profit, that's kind of poor form, in my opinion. You certainly have the right to do it.
Oh, dear God.
I'm not going to say you can't do it, but it is probably kind of poor form to do it just right now, given the nature of what Blesser is. However, on eBay, there is an auction for Blesser, which is kind of amazing, and I think it's really cool. I'm going to pull up the link for you guys, but let me describe it. So someone put Blesser up on eBay. Only, did you know on eBay you can have auctions where there's a ribbon next to the current highest bid?
Yeah, and that's where you donate a certain amount of that.
Yeah. So
charity.
So this guy put up his Blesser, and there's a ribbon on the auction. Now, do you know what the percentage is that his Blesser is going to be going?
100.
100% of that auction is going to be going to charity. So that Blesser. On eBay, I double checked this with SuriBot on Twitter, because I was like, whenever I see something like that, my first reaction, unfortunately, is he just saying it's going to be for charity, and is this just a way to ride the bids up?
No, that all happens through Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
Through eBay.
Yeah, apparently, the way this works is like that money may never even go to PayPal. It may circumvent PayPal entirely. And so, you know, this is utterly legit. And certainly, I'm not trying to say anything about the guy's character. I don't know the guy who's doing the auction. The seller's name is Altitron, and his idea basically was he's put up his Blesser without even opening it. All the whatever it goes for, it's going to go straight to charity, and he will then take that amount, match it himself, and donate that to charity as well. And in the description, he suggested something which I thought was marvelous, which is, you know, it can be yours to own, or even better, you can put this Blesser up for auction after you receive him. Donate the proceeds to Japan's Red Cross as well, and keep that train moving. And I think that is a great way to do an auction with Blesser. And that is, you see, for all I said about poor form, this is what you call good form. This is what you call how the hell you do it. I think this auction is marvelous, and I want to commend the dude. I don't know if he's even on the boards, but I posted the link as well, just in case that didn't work.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think this is great. And as I said, I'm not going to get into that whole flame war that's going on about Blesser, but I just want to say my piece that I think it is a little bit... Apparently, Fans Project even said, please don't just flip this for resale, because that's not in the spirit of what this is about.
Right.
And, you know, if you're going to flip it for resale, whatever, do it. But just be aware that that is kind of poor form. And
it's bad cricket.
Yeah, it's not illegal. It's not outside of your rights. No one can really get angry at you for doing it for any real legitimate reason, but it is poor form, and I would not do it myself. I heard from Gerodimus, apparently he said Blesser actually had tighter joints than sidearm, but I guess I got a good sidearm, because to me they're kind of identical. But I also got Scouting Force X, the Perfect Effect camera robots, and they're pretty damn cool. The Perfect Effect warrior, like the Frenzy Rumble Shadow Warrior guy. Mm-hmm. Imagine that robot mode with a little bit more bulk added on, like a way thicker chest, and basically like a more oomphy, robust version of that mold. That's kind of what these guys are like. They're a little bit taller and a whole lot thicker everywhere. And they are really well done, and I really like them. Of the three of them, the one with the pistols and the one with the Gatling gun are the best. The one with the shield and the sniper rifle kind of falls short because the figure is just not really capable of using the shield or sniper rifle in any meaningful way. You can't really pose him that well with those things, but it's a minor point. The base figure is the same for all three and very excellently done. The camera mode is fantastic, and all the little bits just compress together, store inside each other, and become this excellent little just package. It's fantastic. I love this figure. It's a bummer that it's expensive.
Is it worth the price?
Well, I think it's worth the price knowing the whole picture of it. Just like, you know, knowing that this is a third party, having bought Perfect Effect stuff before, I am seeing my money's worth in this figure. I went through Robot Kingdom for this one myself, but as I understand it, I was mistaken. And if you go to TF Source or Big Bad, it is not $100. It's like $90, I think. Is it 90?
Oh, wow.
So yeah, I just checked on TF Source. It's 90.
Yeah, 90 is better than 100. 90 is the top. That is the most I'd pay for it before shipping. But I wish that the North American retailers could have sold it for 70, because I believe Robot Kingdom had it up for 70. Plus huge, like, expensive shipping, unfortunately. So it came out to be about the same. But, you know, it was fast shipping with tracking, so I feel like I can kind of lessen the blow a little bit there, knowing it's coming out of Hong Kong. If this could have been sold for $70 in the States, I would have said it's totally worth considering. As it is still totally worth considering, but it is expensive. The figures are still small, but it's Perfect Effect. So they're small guys with amazingly intricate sculpt and paint and really well-done articulation at their scale. The transformation, it's a very Perfect Effect transformation. So it is like the robots basically curl up into a shape and then their accessories plug all over them, pretty much. So as a Perfect Effect release, it's marvelous. But if you don't like Perfect Effect style, this isn't really going to change your mind, I don't think. Aside from the fact that it is guys turning into a camera instead of just a nondescript gun. The other main point I can make about it is this feels less like an homage to Reflector and a bit more like an homage to the Microman toy. Because okay. The Microman toy was also a hardcore parts former, in that, you know, you had a whole lot of parts you took off and then smacked together to make the camera look a little bit more whole. And these guys take it to the extreme. They themselves form a vague camera, but you have a whole bunch of bits that you plug onto them to make them into a far more full bodied camera. So cool. It to me feels a lot more like an homage to the Microman toy than the Transformers character, although it is in the G1 colors. So for sure, there's a Transformers nod there, but it felt more like a love letter to the 70s toy, like taking the 70s toy concept and just updating it hardcore. Whereas the TF Club one is far more Transformers-y in that it's just three robots stick together and they're a camera now. So I would say it's worth considering. If you can get a look at one in person, it will help you seal the deal on whether or not you want to pick it up. I know this is probably going to be one of the most browsed toys at BotCon if TF Source and the other guys all bring a whole bunch of them. Yeah. And I will try to help people make the decision. I'm going to try to get a video done for it before BotCon. I know PL's got a video up now. It's definitely something that I would say you can have a lot of fun with, but because Perfect Effect style does not work for everybody as much as it works for me, it is something where you got to do your research beforehand. And you got to know that they are going to be three small robots. The other main thing I want to throw out about them is that there's two big things I love about these guys over my Frenzy and Rumble and Shadow Warrior guys is that they have a full-on, really well-done sideways ankle tilt, and their feet are enormous. So they have a really when you stand them on your desk, they just boomf, they're right on your desk, solid as hell. And because of that, the Gatling Gun guy, he's actually my favorite because he has this huge Gatling Gun, and it has these two pivoting handles. So you can have him pose with it in all kinds of awesome ways, totally like the heavy weapons guy from Team Fortress 2, if you want it to be like that. And, he has this huge jetpack you can plug onto him. And what's really smart is that this jetpack is pretty big and this Gatling gun is pretty big, but when you have both of them onto him, they counterweight each other so well, you can pose him however you want and he probably won't fall over. And I've also tried posing him with just one or the other on him. And the jetpack is trickier, but otherwise he poses still pretty well. I think they're really well done, but they are also still very Perfect Effect style and they don't deviate much from that schema. So hopefully a table like TF Source will have a set of them out on the table so you can see them physically. I think that will help a lot because what doesn't help is they're very densely packed into their box. Like their box is a plastic tray where they and all their accessories are just packed together really tightly. And that means the box is pretty small. So when you look at just the box and you're like, this is $100, you kind of twitch. But I do actually think they are quite well done. Probably the best thing Perfect Effect has done to date, out of the stuff that I've seen, and very much worth your consideration. More so than any of their other things so far. That's my opinion, at least. I think that's all the Transformers stuff I got. So let's go into a little bit of off-topic stuff. I know I got some. I'm guessing you guys have some. Aaron, do you have any off-topic?
I have a what I did.
I heard about you doing something.
Yeah, fishy. So you heard on the last odd-numbered podcast, the Aaron 2.0. Apparently there were some issues when GogDog decided to remove all of the Bugman subroutines.
That was bogus.
Which apparently are a bit more core to everything, so I had to go down and fix that. And tried to bribe me with an offer of getting to see the space shuttle launch, which I'd wanted to do for a long time, but apparently the repair parts that he picked up came from the shuttle. So that's still on the ground as of this recording, and got to help Mr. Goggin move from one apartment to another, in the course of which I did find a Bugman's toy there.
How?
So he, I saw that the top half of a Kamen Rider Amazon little must have been like a gumball machine type of thing. And then in sorting through a pile of stuff, I found the legs. And so I took a twit pic of that. I don't know if you ended up seeing that or not.
I did see that. It was quite scandalous.
But it's smaller than a finger, but it was most definitely a Bugman's toy. He's claiming it was a plant, but...
Of course it was a plant.
Yeah. Yep. But beyond that, I haven't really done anything much off topic because it's just been trying to save up everything for the BotCons.
Yeah, that's still pretty interesting.
Yeah,
I'm going to Florida. I'm guessing dying of thirst at some point.
Actually, only because we were moving stuff. It was very nice weather. It wasn't like BotCon weather from last year. Plus, he lives a lot closer to the coast, so you get more ocean effect.
I do like the coast. Lupus, have you been going off topic at all?
You know, when you said Transformer stuff, I thought you meant like actual name brand Transformer stuff.
Oh, I mean, I'm open to third party in there. Transformer
okay,
relevant.
Well, real quick, for those that don't know, I have been deathly ill for the past 2 weeks.
Like, why would you do that?
Because, you know, I work with, you know, microbiology all day.
I was hoping you're going to say because it's fashionable.
Right. Well, yeah, you know, the snot and everything.
I love
snot.
It's
lovely color green. So me and
all the cool kids are getting leprosy. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, well, we've been saying he has lupus for years now.
I know.
Yeah.
It's never lupus. So, Lesser showed up, like, the day that I just got back from the hospital, like, totally wrecked and... Oh my god, I'm dying. So Blesser really was a blesser. Like, I'm slowly recovering,
cool.
And it really did make my day and made me get 110 on my exams. So
woo!
Blesser is truly worth the name.
Keep him in your pocket now for exams. That's good luck.
And on top of that, I did get the Warcry and Flame Blast.
Ooh, how are you liking them?
Your video does no justice for these figures.
Oh, dear.
They're awesome. My only downfall is that I really wish they had the add-on so I could make a Battle Gaia out of the Energon set.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I totally dug why they left that stuff out, but having seen people's reactions, now I'm wondering if, considering they were only $10 less, people who were going to buy them would have already been up for spending the $10 on the add-on parts.
Oh, definitely.
Because if they were going to be like $20 under, I'd have said, "Well, hey, look, you know, you're getting the robots, and that's the main attraction here." And the idea behind them, as far as I understand it, was to make the robots the main attraction because they're well done, and a lot of people tended to ignore them in order to just combine them up. But yeah, at this point, just given that there was only a $10 price difference, now I'm wondering if they should have just been the same price and the same package.
It would have been cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's everything I got.
Don't mind all those noises on my end. That relates to something that I got in the mail. Seth. Omegas, did you go off topic much this week?
I was still on topic, but no one bothered to ask.
Oh.
Well, they're built rules, so they barely count anyway.
Oh, that's practically off topic. To be honest, this is the off topic part, but we've been on topic the entire time because Aaron went to Florida to help a podcaster, and Lupus got third party Transformers relevant IP infringements, and built to rules kind of like a first party IP infringement. So. Tell me about your build to rules.
No, Soundwave 338 was nice enough to donate his build rule collection, which included Optimus, Smokescreen, Jetfire, and Demolishor.
Build to rule collection.
It's kind of frightening.
Man, I just never thought I'd hear those words. Yeah.
It is getting to like a scary point where I think now I'm gonna have the largest build rule collection.
I remember the TF Wiki guys were harassing you because you actually were the only person they knew of who owns one of those semi-unreleased ones.
You know, it's not hard. They were like half their retail cost on eBay when I found them.
Yeah, it's kind of hilarious. I don't know.
I know.
The fact that somebody would have been looking for them in the first place.
Exactly. This is where I use like Build a Rule Scorponok as my example of, you know, rarity really doesn't have nearly as much in the rarity is not an indication of value. Demand is.
Yeah.
You know, these things are only sold in one city in the entire world, but no one wants them, so they are worth nothing. And for obvious reasons, I mean, it's, you know, these four build rules that I got, ew.
Not working this out.
This is going to be the first Prime that does not make my Prime shelf.
Aww.
Oh.
Can't you make him the janitor or something of the Prime shelf?
Well, not only that, I'm pretty sure between shoddy construction and just so many little bits on him, something will fall behind bookshelves. But it's built to rule. I mean, I will give him this. The vehicle modes are all right. They look like Lego vehicles, so it's a benefit. I don't know why the crane truck looks sleeker than the sports car.
Yeah, it was in the mid-2000s. That's how things went back then.
I will give like, okay, you know, Prime makes a nice truck. Jetfire makes a surprisingly nice little shuttle mode. Robot modes, they're exactly what you would expect. They're the big block body, sunken in head, you know, gangly arms. They are very svet.
They know what they're doing, and they're going to do it regardless.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, for anyone who's never owned one and wondered how they could be that bad, yeah, no one's exaggerating. They aren't good.
Aside from the built to rules, though, did you go get anything else off topic?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I went off topic several times this few weeks.
I was going to say, that'd be a pretty depressing off topic thing where you're like, oh, I got built to rules. And they're kind of off topic because everybody hates them.
I don't completely hate them. I get to mock them now.
Yeah.
It's the benefit of my collection. I don't have any regrets in my collection because I make entertainment out of the ones I hate.
Yeah, it's true.
So my Gaia Memory collection expanded a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I have Jewel and Energy in the Dopant variety.
Lovely. And we got word that one of the other group buys is finally opening up.
Yep.
Group buy I took part in before I went crazy.
Yeah. So, you have enough to be a Gaia Memory dealer now.
I do. Yep. That was a strange week that week. But I digress. I've talked about it before.
Don't worry. I might be in there with you when the next set comes out.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
They're nice, though. Jewel is an incredibly creepy sound.
Mm-hmm.
It works out. The Metal Addiction has continued as well. I have three purple ones sitting here now.
Welcome to the club. I got those, and I still haven't actually run the scanner on them.
Really?
Because of one of the other off-topic things I got, which I'll get to in a second.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I got viciously distracted by it all week.
Your burp weapon. All right.
Yeah. But how does it feel to basically be done with numbered medals?
It's nice knowing that there are more sets coming out, but I've got all the ones from the show, so
yeah.
I'd be upset to not get the next two, but I wouldn't, I wouldn't be losing sleep over it.
Yeah, it's not numeric anymore.
Yeah.
Out of the way.
Yeah. Well, they're not in the show, they don't count.
Yeah. Hey Aaron, what's up?
Yeah.
Yep.
I saw pre-orders had gone up, and anytime I looked around, they were gone. And it was like, I'm not going to worry too much, and Lupus has got to go.
I'm sorry, guys. It's okay.
Good night, guys.
Take it easy.
Right.
Take care. See
ya. That metal thing, I'm wondering if we're going to go through this again next year with the next show. Like, if they're going to do a collectible that's aesthetically pleasing as well.
Of course they're going to do a collectible.
Yeah.
They went from cards to guy memories to medals.
I just wonder if I'm going to care about the next one.
Well, the rumors pan out. See, I'm not even going to say that because I've seen the rumor of the next collectible set. Mm-hmm. I just go, no, that sounds silly. I really have no interest. Then again, I said that about medals, as I stare at 18 die-cast little things sitting on my desk right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see in a couple months for sure where all that goes. But I mean, aside from continuing the double addictions, as it were, did you get anything else, or was it just kind of like more of the quota?
Strangely enough, my last one is something I never buy into, which was a Marvel action figure.
Was it a Spider-Man body, perhaps?
It was a Spider-Man series toy,
not
a body.
I just assumed Marvel Universe, so that's been my knee-jerk lately.
No, wasn't Marvel. No, it's not Marvel Universe. It's
all right.
No, it was the Carnage figure they released for the 6-inch Spider-Man line.
Oh,
no,
that is probably better than the Spider-Man body I'm thinking of.
Well, unfortunately, it's like all the others. It's missing tendrils, so it doesn't seem like a proper Carnage.
It's calm Carnage.
Yeah, there's no such thing, and you know it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, no, Carnage, no. Venom, yeah.
That's the new... Cletus Effin Cassidy is not calm.
There's a Carnage Voltron now.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Is that from the new show? I haven't watched any of the promo material for it.
No, Carnage just came back in the comics.
Oh.
So he just started randomly absorbing armored up soldiers around him. So he's using human bodies as fists right now.
I should check out pictures of this at some point. Sounds kind of awesome. I'm guessing it's not Cletus Cassidy in the comics anymore.
Yes, it is.
It is, but I thought that they did away with him.
Spoiler alert.
It's Marvel. Nobody dies.
Okay.
The symbiote preserves him. Through reentry,
is this a spoiler? I really should be spoiling out, or is this a comic from a month or two ago?
This has been out for like two. This has been out for like 2 months now.
Okay.
Well, the comic itself explained this has been out for like 2 weeks, but the revelation that Cassidy's alive has been 2 months old.
Okay, so I don't have to worry about trimming that. I'm also assuming people listening to this podcast are going to care about the goings-on of the Spider-Man universe, and
yeah.
I know a lot of people have been turned off that universe of late, so I'm perhaps overthinking and over-worrying things, but nonetheless.
There's a weird thing about the figure that it's molded in both black and red plastic, but not in like any like uniform way. Like the torso, the shoulder and hip joints, and the knee and elbow joints are all red. Everything else is black.
I thought you meant this would be like the left hand is red and the right hand is black or something.
Well, the result is that when they go and paint over the black plastic to make the uniform look, it comes out a lot darker. So you get it's very easy to see the divides and the breaks in between the parts.
Yeah.
And I found out there's like a 5-pack out there where they repainted improperly, all red plastic, all black paint.
Ooh.
And it looks awesome. So,
and is this 6-inch scale?
This is 6-inch scale, so this is your like DC Universe and the Marvel Legends.
One to 12 scale, some have called it, actually, I hear.
1 to 12 scale. Mm.
I only know this because of something I got this week.
Well, whatever it is, it's like proper action figure size, not G.I. Joe.
Yeah. Man, I don't know if you heard last week's, but man. Someone posted a really cool custom Marvel Universe toy. Again, it's on the stupid Spider-Man body. I hate that Spider-Man body so much. Flames in my eyes. I'm trying to get all Madeline Kahn here, don't mind me. Did you get anything else this week?
No, that is it for me.
All right, I got a big dinosaur axe. I got those purple medals too, but this is cooler. Dinosaur axe makes fang noises, and then you can feed it coins, and it starts singing at you. And I kind of like it when it does that, because it goes all like, I'm a sing. I say sing, it plays music at you.
So it really likes eating those medals.
It loves eating those medals, let me tell you.
Ate those medals, nom nom nom.
It burps, too.
Burp!
The burp wrecks it all. I actually got to agree with a fellow from Wales about the burp messing up the aesthetic of it.
I think it's funny.
It's okay. Yeah.
It's just as a little random thing.
The nice thing about it is random, and the nice thing about it is you can cut it off. You don't have to hear the burp if you just open it up again. So if you don't like the burp, it's easy to deal with.
Yeah, that's on my list of stuff for when I can find a place that has metals and or Candroids and or whatever all in stock in one fell swoop to reduce shipping.
I'll say this, the big toy every year for a rider generally is very easy to find a couple months after it's released. So yeah, I wouldn't worry about
this. This is the best
axe
done one in years, so I'm really digging this thing. It's an axe that turns into a bazooka, sings even more, but usually these kind of weapon things, the best ones are usually the guns, and even then they're kind of small. This thing's a gun and an axe, and in both modes, it's pretty big, so props. But that's not the most important thing I got this week. It's just the neat one that makes noises. The coolest thing I got this week, twofold. After last week, due to Seth Buzzard, I got totally interested in 3A toys. So I placed some order-type things. Then I went to a toy show. I went to the Cherry Bomb local Victoria toy show. Shot some video there, actually, that I'm going to be trying to edit up over the next week or so. A couple of customizers there from TFW and His Tank. If you're on His Tank, you'll probably know the guy more. The Trans Torture was there, and then making his first visit to a convention was King Vile with his G.I. Joe Transformers, which is a very interesting display. He does them up with even fake product code name tags, so it looks like a display for a toy line. It's a really neat way to set up his toys. He sets them up to look like a legitimate G.I. Joe Transformer toy line, which I thought was kind of cool. But while I was there, the guy who runs the whole thing, I bumped into him. I was like, hey, what's up? And he's like, yeah, not much. I'm like, yeah, you know, I just recently got into this 3A stuff. And he's like, oh, there's someone here with 3A. And I'm like, please take me to their table. So I go to this table. And these guys don't have any of the robots yet, but they have some of the Adventure Cartel, which is 3A's 12-inch line of... basically, it's a bunch of badasses in tracksuits who fight zombies in boiler suits. So they had some of the, these guys had some of the newer ones there. I talked them up a bit, told them about how I'm getting interested in it. They let me mess around with some of the figures, which was cool. These figures were all like, they were trying to sell them each for $120 at the start of the show, and they were just letting me, you know, diddle around with the thing. So I was like, thank you. They gave me a catalog from one of the figures, and so I was looking at them, and I recognized one of them, and he's this character called Fighting JC. Basically he's supposed to be the son of God who's come back down to fight the zombie apocalypse with his fists. It looks as cool as it sounds. And, there's multiple versions of him, and there's one version called the exegesis version, which is, him as a blonde version with like all white clothes. And he's got this like boxer robe with a hood that looks awesome. So I was like, I'll buy the white one off you guys. Cause it was priced down to $100. And I remember there was something special about it, too, but it's also the one I like the look of the most. And they were like, no, we'll sell it to you for $90. So I was like, sweet. So I take the thing home, look it up on eBay, and this thing was the exclusive where you had to be a 3A associate member, which is something you can sign up for once in January each year to even be able to order this guy. So I was like, wow, they did me a vicious, hard, solid. And this is a really cool toy. As far as 12-inch toys go, it's the most playable one I've messed with in a while. You can mess with his joints, all work really well. They're tight. He can pose him looking like a badass. He's got a wire running through the seam of his robe and the hood, so you can, like, pose his robe. It looks really cool, and it helps the hood work, because when you pull the hood up, the wire holds the hood into a really cool shape. And it's also really easy to pull the robe off, so you can have shirtless fighting JC. And he's got tattoos all over his upper body, so you're meant to do that as well. And going off Hot Toys and other 12-inch toys, usually if you want to take a jacket off one of these guys, it's a process. It's an evening. With JC, it's just like, jacket's off. You want to put it back on? Jacket's back on. Really well done. He also comes with a zombie head that you can keep in a pouch on his belt. And it's so cool. I'm sticking with these 3A things. I don't want to go into their 1-6 scale stuff, but if I'm going to have one, JC is a really cool one to have. I might, because of this, end up looking into some of the other Adventure Cartel guys if new versions come out, but JC he's really cool. I took a bunch of pictures of him with my iPhone. I really recommend him. Unfortunately, if you want to avoid the whole religious side of things, that is unfortunately a flame war that seems to come up sometimes when he is brought up. Certainly do not start that in the podcast thread, or I'm gonna throw a brick at you, and by that I mean delete your post. But he's a fantastically done figure, and it was a great opening thing for my 3A experience, and unexpected. The box even is really cool. It's like an old school G.I. Joe box, really thick cardboard. It's got this Ashley Wood painting on the front. It's really well done. Then today, right before the podcast, I picked up my first 3A robot. I basically got a different colorway or color scheme of what Seth got. So I also now have a 1-12 scale large Martin in the Iron Panda color scheme, which is like white and black, and it has "Dead Eyes Open" written on its chest. And it's got a creepy crying eye sensor thing. And these are way more solid than I was expecting them to feel, already knowing that they are pretty solid. This thing is really, really heavy, and it's like solid plastic and vinyl. And the vinyl has layers of paint over it to give it texture and stuff. And considering that this thing costs like $45 before shipping, fantastic deal, in my opinion. It's not super poseable, but it is poseable. The joints are real sticky at times, but they don't feel fragile. And the fact that they're that sticky means you work them a bit to get them moving, and then once you have them in a position you want to leave them at, then they'll kind of freeze in place, which helps because this guy's really heavy. He's basically like a giant can with meat tenderizer arms and a little pair of legs and a huge howitzer on his ear. And I am going, like, this is basically what some of my BotCon budget has gone into, is looking into this stuff. I don't really care because these things are damn cool. I'm happy I picked it up. Me and Seth are in an arms race now, and I feel kind of bad saying this, but I think I'm going to beat him in this arms race. Cause I already got probably before BotCon, I'll have at least one more of these kind of things show up. So I'm not trying to make, I'm trying not to make a peeing contest out of this, cause I don't want to say a dirty word.
Careful.
I don't know. The nice
like
thing
I've,
is,
I've got like 30 Mugenbein toys over one of those before.
Well, I mean, the thing about this is you're not supposed to look in the back catalog. And right now, if you're not going to buy a large Martin, you basically have to look in the back catalog to get something. But I found a couple of these things in their back catalog that I did kind of want to get, especially because of something else I got coming. And I went digging around because I was not going to pay some of those eBay prices, and I found a few deals to be had by sending people messages, and that's how I went about it. Because the community who pick up these things are generally really cool people, in my limited experience. Like, I met two fans of it locally at that toy show where I bought this JC from, the place Vinyl Purgatory that I got the Iron Panda Large Martin from. Talked to them in emails briefly about something else, and they were pretty cool about stuff as well. Some of these other folks I've talked to, very nice community. And I don't know. The nice thing about it is there's not too much of a slippery slope to go down unless you're rich, because I'm pretty much, aside from, I think, one Bertie, I'm done with the back catalog. But yeah, it's really cool stuff. Hoping to get the word out about it a little bit. Make sure to tell people if they do end up spending money on it, it's all Seth's fault. This time it's not my fault.
And sure. Yeah, but see, you're the one that's repeatedly bringing it up, though.
Because I got him in the mail. That's the only reason I've been.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sure.
Got him in the mail. That's all. But fantastic things. If you don't like the aesthetic, then, you know, it's not going to work for you. It'll save you some money. But I like the aesthetic, and they are the best. If these are, if this is something that is classified as designer toy or designer, not designer vinyl, I know that's not what they'd like to be known as, but designer something, this is how you do it. You make them solid, you make them durable and heavy and cool looking. And that's also it for my off topic. And that's, I guess, it for what we got this week. So, let's take a little break, and then we'll come back with some listener questions, and again, an actual spoiler section. Diddly-doo, 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 diddly-doo. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. I've received a vulgar image. It's called favang.jpg. It's an engineer Armstrong flipping me off.
I believe there's supposed to be a stop in that. It's supposed to be fvang.
No, it says favang. There's a U. Favang. Some kind of Chinese word. But, you know, I'm not going to get into the ethnic bobs of this. I just want to say that's pretty immature. That's all I'm going to say. Getting a poor, innocent engineer Armstrong to flip me off with his posable fingers. That's pretty immature. So leave it at that.
You're lucky it's not lined up with a Unicron and a Primus.
God of the Transformers would never waste his time doing foul gestures. That's all I'm going to... We had a listener question from Dufour on YouTube. I got this in my YouTube inbox, and he says, quote, "Dear Vangelis and the Masters of the Universe." Oh, man, Lupus isn't here.
Yeah.
Oh. There are many...
I get to be Stratos.
There are many crossovers that HasTac would most likely never approve of, yet Hasbro and Takara have done many obscure crossovers in the past. For example, Takara's Street Fighter and Godzilla Micronauts. This has made me curious about this two-part question. What obscure, if nearly impossible, crossover would you like to see with Transformers? And what crossover would you absolutely hate to see happen with the Transformers franchise, for either the sake of not wanting Transformers to be in any way correlated with that franchise, or for fear of having some of the rather slipshod engineering of the current crossover figures. Thank you very much for your time, Dufour. So, for the first question, what kind of crossover do you guys want to see, Aaron?
This is a that we would want to see and could never happen.
Yeah, nearly impossible. So nigh never happen.
Macross.
Already happened.
But it can't. Not anymore. Yeah,
it's true.
It happened in the beginning with Jetfire.
It's
now,
true.
I mean, completely unrelated things get slapped with lawsuits due to any slight similarities. That's
the Harmony
Gold
rule.
The long-awaited MechWarrior 5 reboot with all new technology and everything got smacked because it had something that was slightly similar to something that was licensed by somebody else. And
so was that Harmony Gold in their little office of one guy who all he does is sit there and look for stuff that looks like Macross?
Yep. Yeah. Well, originally BattleTech licensed those. It was licensed the artwork from the original artist, but Harmony Gold got into it, and so they went, all right, fine, we won't use that. We're sorry. And lawsuit still kept coming. They're like, no, we don't use anything like that. It doesn't exist, period. And so then finally it was okay. And there was one mech that had a similar design to a Macross mech. And so it fired up lawsuits again and took a game that was at like 98% developed and shelved it. So,
hey. I have no pity for Harmony Gold in anything that ever happens to them.
That's actually why I'm pretty sure I remembered hearing at a BotCon panel that there are a couple of jet transformers that have halfway modes that are very easy to find, and the designers may have specifically put them in there as that. However, they can't mention that because that would be something slightly like a Gearwalk mode and lawsuit ahoy.
Harmony Gold would be all like, oh, a more successful company.
For having a jet with legs, we're going to attack you with threat of lawsuit, and it's just easier to not deal with it.
So you'd love to see this happen, I'm guessing, in part to spite Harmony Gold?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
just to have... who was that original? Was that... who did the original toys? Because it was from...
It came from Bandai.
Did it come from Bandai?
Or Takatoku might have been, sorry. The Chunky Monkey... The Chunky Monkey Valkyrie, as they call it.
Yeah. I'd just like to see that for the crossover and just to have it happen in Japan or something where it's outside of Harmony Gold.
I want them to have it happen right here in North America and call it Transformers Battletech Crossovers.
Yeah. Just something that would put it Harmony Gold, so that then somebody else can go, well, if they can do that, then we can do this, and you can shut up.
I just wanted to make it the most spiteful thing to shoot at Harmony Gold, if we're going to go for that approach on it. Go all in. Go balls it. Balls hanging out and flapping in the breeze, is what I'd say. What does that even mean? I don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't know.
Omegas, what about you? What crossover would you like to see happening, balls flap or not?
Going back to the Underhead thing, aren't we?
Underhead, transform!
In a similar vein, just because I love the two toy line so much, I already mentioned it once before, Transformers and Mugenbine. Because I'd like to see these little, like... Whenever I refer to Mugenbine, I always call it Lego for Giant Robots.
Yeah.
So this be Build-A-Rule done a little bit more properly. Or at least a little bit more creatively.
Mm-hmm.
But this is also kind of slight because this was Mugenbine is the child of Machine Robo Rescue.
Yep.
Which Hasbro specifically sniped the trademark of to keep the toy line off of the U.S. market.
Yeah. It could be cool. And Mugenbine is still doing its thing. I mean, there's Moe Bine and the Joint Gatai system in Super Sentai.
The Moe Bine.
Moe Bine.
Okay, that's one series.
It's Mugenbine, but it's Moe.
You know how long it took for HLJ to sell off all of those?
What, like 5 minutes?
Not quite.
Oh. Five years?
They might still be there for all I know.
Moe Bine! Speaking of basically impossible crossovers that I think would be cool, this is Transformers Heroes. You know, like Siler. Give me my Siler jet.
And my
Malcolm McDowell tank and stuff like that.
It threw me off because... Which was it? Was it animated that was supposed to be Transformers Heroes.
No, I mean Transformers TM Heroes TM.
Okay.
Give me my Nathan who turns into a helicopter and stuff like that. This is a bit of a test for the listenership to see who still remembers Heroes, even though it's not all that old.
Yeah.
At least, in part, I admit I say this because I have a Malcolm McDowell Heroes figure still on my desk. But, you know, we're going to talk impossible. Let's go for canceled shows that used to be really popular. So Transformers and Heroes.
Transformers and Firefly.
Now that show is still popular. Don't you go there?
Oh, canceled.
I mean, no. Heroes not only got canceled, but people had a real flip flop on it. Me included. What do you guys think Clara would turn into if she were a Transformer? She was regenerating. What's her name?
Yeah. Well, Claire Bear is what she was always called. That's an easy one.
Turn into a robot bear.
Jane Claw. It's happened before.
Save the cheerleader, save the world, but save yourself. She's going to bite your head off. I should be making this line myself. Lord.
It's someone just the other day on my Form Spring asked me, okay, do you think this crossover will be horrific or awesome? Transformers, Harry Potter.
No slight to Harry Potter, but that sounds like it would be incredibly boring. That's just me.
Yeah. Okay, I have a toy that turns into a broomstick. Ooh.
Or I have jets and tanks who turn into British children. Right. No slight meant there at all to anyone, you know, who's into that kind of stuff, but you know. Heroes would be more interesting to me.
I'd say Red Dwarf, but that wasn't canceled, technically. It's coming back.
I just watched Back to Earth, the director's cut, the other day. And
there's a director's cut now?
It's the DVD, basically, is the director's cut. The whole thing's cut together as a movie.
Eight extra seconds.
Well, I remember watching it as it was coming out on British television and getting those downloads and being kind of meh about it. So I rewatched it on Blu-ray, the director's cut. And I mean, it's totally off topic now, but I just want to throw this in here. Honestly, I thought it was a lot more fun to watch that time. I came off a lot more positive after I watched it in one go. But
I've never had the problem with it that most people did. I kind of saw it as, well, this might be the last hurrah. They're throwing in a lot. This is more of a farewell treatment.
Yeah, I think the only thing specifically I'm going to cite, other than some vague general stuff about it not being the same, because honestly I don't really care about that, is for a last hurrah, and I know there's a reason why they did it, but it crutched way too much on the Blade Runner references for something that was longer than half an hour, I think. If it was half an hour of Blade Runner references, that'd be cool, but having them constantly happen over 80 plus minutes just became too much for me. I was like, it's just... If you're going to do it once or do it a bunch in a small space of time, but then doing it a bunch over a long period of time just started to get a little irritating for me, because I was like, I think some of these jokes would have been funnier if they weren't trying to also be Blade Runner spoofs. So I came away from it with that as my singular biggest problem was that it was a great idea, because I know they said, you know, Blade Runner is one of the basis for how they wrote the series, but it felt kind of unclever at times, some of the Blade Runner stuff, where I was kind of like, you know, they got the Asian man in the cold chamber where he's working on latex stuff, and you're like, yep,
right.
He's gonna say it's cold, and you're gonna take some of his stuff, and he's gonna speak broken English, and it's just like in Blade Runner, but that's all it is, it's just like in Blade Runner. That said, I listened to the first half hour of the commentary, golden commentary, as usual, with the cast. I haven't listened to the Doug Naylor commentary yet. And what I heard is because they've been greenlit on another series, haven't they?
Yeah, they have.
Yeah, and apparently he's going to bring in other writers, and that's good, because he's a good ideas man, but Doug Naylor's not good at writing funny, in the long term. He's great at coming up with story concepts and stuff. He's great at writing an episode here and there, but when he's writing a full season or something like that, you feel like there's something missing, and because something is missing. And I don't know. I'm glad if they bring in other writers. That will help out a lot. But this isn't a Red Dwarf podcast, so the other part of the question. Thanks for asking a question that made us suddenly start talking about Red Dwarf. I really enjoyed Red Dwarf.
That's all right. I'm just sitting back here looking through the front page.
You
back,
ever back watched? Red Dwarf, Aaron?
Oh, once or twice when we used to have the big satellite dish. The dish that you had to move. Move the dish. It's been a little bit.
I don't know who you are. Don't know who you are.
That happens.
Anyway, the other part of the question was, what crossover do you not want to see happen? And according to the wording of the question, it must be either because you don't want Transformers to be related with that franchise, or because you don't want that crossover to have bad engineering. Those are the only reasons why you may want to have this crossover not happen. So, Aaron, what's yours?
For a friend, My Little Transformers.
For which reason? Slipshod just engineering, obviously.
Sure, slipshod engineering. The ponies normally have no articulation or like two legs move or something.
Yeah, you don't want them to mess up the aesthetic because it's a beloved franchise, you know? So.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Omegas, what about you?
Geez, their first instinct is stick with that Harry Potter one.
I, for one, don't want to see Transformers and Harry Potter because it would be boring, so I guess that would put me into the A answer there of not wanting to be correlated with the franchise.
Someone threw the answer at me already, so I kind of feel the impulsive need to use it.
I don't know. Let's come with another one, though, because I don't want to do Harry Potter either for this one.
Jeez.
What's a franchise you love that you don't want to see get mixed up with Transformers for whatever reason? Which is admittedly a very difficult thing to say. Maybe we should flip-flop it. What franchise do you dislike so much you wouldn't want Transformers to be related with it? Because we all like Transformers, so...
Yeah, well, that goes back to the Harry Potter, unfortunately.
Burn.
I'm not a fan. It sucks because I got so many little franchises in my head and just nothing.
Mighty Ducks!
Nothing comes to mind.
Transformers crossovers Mighty Ducks.
Now you're talking the cartoon or the movie?
Cartoon. I'm talking movie. I do not want to see Transformers crossovers Emilio Estevez because they can't possibly do him justice with their current engineering budgets. Obviously. I don't know. Do you have another one? I didn't want to jump all over that. I care a lot about Emilio Estevez. I'm sorry.
You know what? Since it's a crossover with everything right now, no Transformers Street Fighters.
Those would look weird. Except for Zangief. Yeah. There's been a Mecha Zangief.
Yeah, Zangief's got the proportions for one.
Yeah.
But Street Fighters like cranberries. You know, they get crossed in with everything these days.
You just burn. Sick burn. The one I wouldn't want to see that isn't that thing I already said. I said the best ones already. I don't know. Let me answer. Here's the one that the knee-jerk reaction from audience member A is saying. Is they're saying Twilight! And I would tell them, like, well, no, because you see, that would be awesome to have shirtless Wolf Boy Transformers. That'd be the best thing
ever. We got Animorphs.
Yeah. The precedent is there. So do not tell me Twilight Transformers would not work. We've seen it happen, and it worked beautifully, did it not?
No comment.
No. No.
Well, thank you for the question, Dufour. Our next question is from Oblivion's Left Hand from YouTube as well. That's a cool name. Who's Oblivion's right hand? My question.
Who's Oblivion's foot?
I don't care about that. That dude can go sit on his thumbs. Oblivion's Left Hand, though, says, Dear Podcasters, I may not be a member of the forum, but I have been listening to the podcast for a few weeks now and find it to be very entertaining and informative. Thank you. I have been going back and listening to past podcasts, and so far I haven't heard of the rather obvious listener question. Since it may have been a while, your opinions may have changed. So, in shows like Transformers Prime, the kids are all paired with Autobot Guardians. My question to you is that, if you had such a Guardian, be them Autobot or Decepticon, who would you want them to be and why? If you've already answered this, if you've already been asked this question, have you changed your opinion since the last time you were asked? And if so, why? So, Aaron, how do you answer the question?
I'm thinking a science bot as a partner.
Ah.
Like a Ratchet or a Perceptor or a Wheeljack.
Or the Doctor.
Yeah.
All right. And why would you want a science partner?
Why? I don't know why the science-y bit seems more interesting to me as the first gut feel.
And just a dude who's like, hey, let's go shoot stuff!
Than having to be the one that's translating bleep, blop, bleep, blop, bleep, blop.
Oh, Kaon, the capital city of the Transformers universe, in which a huge battle took place.
Yeah, we did that exactly. One.
All I said was wow.
Yeah. Omegas, what about you? What's your answer to the question?
Galvatron.
And why?
Because nobody's going to screw with me if my guardian is prone to shoot anybody.
That's a very good answer. He'd also be probably really cool to hang out with.
Oh, certainly.
Dude's lived a life. He'd have lots to tell. A lot of stories to share.
Tell you about that time I took a lava bath?
Yeah, yes. Twice yesterday. Let me tell you again! My own answer would be Omega Supreme, because then I'd get all the ladies by proxy. Obvious answer. His second question is, what would your alt mode be? Would you be a vehicle or turn into something more obscure, like Signal Lancer, who turns into a streetlight, for example? Thank you for taking time to look over my question, and I hope none of you give a pathetic answer, Aaron. Do not give a pathetic answer to this question. What would your alt mode be?
Jet. I like flying.
Pathetic! Actually, wait, did you say jet?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's fine. That's cool. Omegas, what about you? What would your answer be? And make sure it's not pathetic.
Griffin.
I guess it's okay.
I go Beast Wars on this one. Because I get to fly and I get to hunt stuff. I'm awesome.
I would want to transform into a VTOL because that is cooler than flying. That's VTOLing. I want to be able to vertical take off and land.
Oh, sure, mister, I don't need a running start.
No, I just want to be able to go like, and then I would totally have my VTOLs actually work so I could go up to thrust and go like, hey, guess what, thrust? Your VTOLs don't work! He'd be all like, but I'm flying. And I'm like, yeah, you're flying with magic stuff, not your VTOLs that aren't even spinning, you stupid person. And then he'd be all like, and I'd be so much cooler than thrust. Anyway, that's our listener question section. Let's go into some spoilerville, ladies and gentlemen.
This is the spoiler section. From this point forward, the virginity of your experience with upcoming Transformers media will be at fatal risk. You have been warned. Turn back now, or bear your penance for eternity.
We've got the even team here with us. Well, two of them. And I want to just quickly ask you guys how you felt about that last teaser trailer that came out to some adulation and some ire that had the big countdown and everything. How'd you take it? Anything stick out for you? Anything you didn't like? Anything you loved? Aaron?
This is the same one that came out last week?
Yep.
Aaron 2.0's opinions were still pretty close to the base models.
Copycat.
Yes, he was.
Copycat. I think you're abusing that dude too much. You know?
Not letting After him I had to rebuild him with shuttle parts.
Yeah, you know, you gotta let him stand on his own 2 feet after all that, and you got him onto his skates, you gotta let him ride the ice a little bit.
Yeah, well, Gog tried to push him down a hill on those skates.
That's true. I bet, you know, he probably was talking about bug men, and that's what happens. But
yeah. No, it looks good. It's a good teaser, first trailer, so can't wait to see the kind of more story-ish trailer that it'll normally come out beforehand, and then the movie.
Alrighty. And Omegas, how'd you take the teaser?
I was properly teased.
Yep.
I do, as a more of a casual moviegoer point of view, yeah. It does get me intrigued about what was going on. Okay, obvious big invasion happening. Okay, it looks impressive. I will say this, visually it looks a lot cooler than the trailers did for Revenge of the Fallen.
Hmm.
I did like that. I like that it seems like they've finally gotten the idea of, well, we need to keep these robots in a more visible light. Because, you know, Bumblebee's doing his wall running thing during the trailer, and I could actually tell what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not blending into anything, and, you know, I can tell his arm from his leg when he does it. So that works for me.
Yeah.
As a Transformer fan, you know, this usual, ooh, little bit of Shockwave, I like. And curious as to why Megatron is so quiet in this, considering one of my big intrigues is, A, why has he suddenly gotten shy? And B, why he suddenly has an Earth mode.
Yeah. A lot of those new characters, I mean, I said this last week, but, you know, Sentinel Prime wasn't really in that trailer much either. And he's another big enigma of a character.
Yeah. Well, that may be because we don't know who these characters are, but we know Prime and Bumblebee and whatnot. So,
yeah.
To get the draw, you want to use the ones that people know.
No, totally, totally. Stemming off that, let's quickly talk about something that happened the other day that I didn't keep up with, and I'm kind of happy I didn't. But Amazon probably got in a whole lot of trouble going by how Don Murphy was going to other Transformers boards to rant about it as well. Amazon put up the preview pre-orders thing for the Dark of the Moon comic adaptation, and they had this thing where you could flip to a random preview page. Thing is, they put like half the book up there, and it only took about a couple minutes before people realized, hey, the entire like skeleton of the entire plot is up on Amazon right now, including spoiler twists that apparently a lot of people, some people claim that they totally saw them coming, and that's cool, you know, if you want to tell lies like that. I'm just kidding. You guys are smart. But a lot of spoiler twists up there that apparently people did not see coming. A lot of people showing quite a bit of regret that they went and looked there. I did not go look at all. And then it got taken down, and I was like, excellent, I missed it. Of course, people already were starting to go around spreading things. There have been people who have been posting those spoilers in thread topic titles. So some of them have leaked to me here and there. I'm sure I'm going to get people on YouTube going like, did you hear about the spoiler about the blah, blah, blah? But I have no intention of personally hunting down these spoilers, and I have no intention of discussing them, because the movie is going to be out in a very short amount of time. And I, at this point, I don't see a reason to go looking for this stuff, because over the next 60 days, I'll have seen the movie, if I'm counting my time properly.
Something like that.
Yeah. It's a movie's close enough where we're going to do a big-ass podcast about it, probably more than one big sections of podcast about the movie after it's out. So I just do not see a reason to go tracking down these spoilers. Please don't post them in the podcast thread. You know, and if you're going to post in the movie forum, try to not put them in the topic titles. You know, don't, that's poor form. That's again, I'm not going to say, you know, you're doing illegal things. It's just very poor form. I would not do that myself. I just wanted to bring that up to say it happened, and we are not going to be talking about it, because unless I hear differently from one of you guys who really wants to get into it, I'll glad that you have your own spot.
I didn't get the chance to see it, and then decided I wasn't going to go hunting for it, because I would only... There's spoilers, and then there's ruiners.
Yeah. As I understand it, this stuff, you know, for a movie that, admittedly, Dark of the Moon, probably not going to be the most deep story in the world, but apparently this was ruiner level for that story.
As much as I like, or am willing to put myself out there on a proverbial limb for the podcast, I'm not going to ruin every damn thing for the sake of a 20-minute segment.
Right.
And it's like I said, if this was a year ago, I could see it, but, you know, we're this close to the movie coming out. What's the point? Even if you have no intention of seeing the movie, then what's the point in sharing all this stuff? Because you'll be able to discuss it after the movie's out. And if you don't want to see the movie, then just, you know, now you know what happened in it. Keep it to yourself. I don't know. Omegas, are you going to hunt down the spoilers, or are you going to skip them for now? I don't know if...
No, I heard how bad they were. I want nothing to do with these.
Yeah. And I mean, I am already miffed that a couple of them have crossed my eye line. I'm sure I'm putting a big target on myself by saying all this on here, but I know that if I don't say anything, it's going to come up the question of whether or not we're going to even cover that stuff. So nipping that in the bud right now, if I can. Sorry, guys. But that said, there was actually just before that, I wanted to ask you guys, do you guys think, because it seems like it came down to somewhere between Amazon and the publisher that this all happened. Do you think somebody's going to get in a gigantic steaming brown puddle of trouble over this? Because I do myself.
There's a potential for it, but I know that, I mean, you can go and have those same spoiler pages for just about any book that's out there. So I bet it was just an accident that whoever was loading this in got the book, copied down the ISBN, copied the first 5 pages like he does of everything else, and put it up there and did the normal code, and then somebody went, no! And go for a big red button.
Yeah, because like, and I don't mean this maliciously when I say someone getting in trouble, it's just legitimately, with this being a large movie and that much of the plot getting out before anyone can pay to see the movie, I saw that as, wow, someone is going to get an earful at best.
Yeah.
At worst, someone is going to be without a job.
I'm betting it's more big earful, less,
yeah,
here's a box, put your stuff in it and get out.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to figure out, actually, myself, well, I mean, before I go into that, Omegas, how do you think this will be severity-wise behind the scenes?
It's kind of hard to tell. I mean, you know, it's an honest mistake. It depends on how upset, yeah, it depends on how upset, you know, all the, everyone involved with the movie gets over it more than anything.
Yeah, and Don Murphy is by no means indicative of the entire movie cast and crew, as loud as he can get. He is still a guy in a team of many. But, I was trying to figure out if Amazon is a big enough company where they can basically go like, whatevs, go away, we'll fix it.
I don't think it's going to be a whatevs, but no, we're fixing it and we'll take care of it, because anymore, you're not going to be able to just walk away from Amazon. I mean, I remembered recently hearing a number of clicks on their front page in a day as a store was something that was an obscene number that I had a brain skip, so I'm not even remembering what it was, but it's like, no, there's no way. And it's like, yeah, well, they're the number 2 or 4 site on the internet as far as volume of hits or whatever goes.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking is, like, even though this is a pretty big slip-up, Amazon is a powerful website from my own perspective. So I was wondering if they're able to kind of, you know, if the guys behind the movie come to them yelling, if Amazon can just go like, oh, shut up and go away, we'll fix it.
I don't think it'll be a shut up and go away, because they still have to deal with, you know, movies and whatnot, because they do a lot of movie stuff. But at the same time, it's going to be, look, it was an accident. We took care of it. Here's whatever in restitution for breaking NDA or early release or whatever. And
be on your way,
now,
please.
Now you can, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can make a bigger deal out of it, but things will just get more frustrating for everybody.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out, because at first I was like, oh, Amazon's going to get punched in the throat. But then I was like, I think Amazon has a lot of armor plating on that throat.
Yeah.
And they can probably punch back if they get punched too much.
Yeah.
Anyway, interesting news story. You know, risky bringing it up, but I'm pretty sure that it would have come up in a more numerous sort of questioning way if we didn't say anything about it at all. So that said, the last thing we can cover here is we got a bunch of reveals on the Dark of the Moon video game, with IGN and GameSpot doing some video coverage and whatnot on a pre-build, I'm guessing. Did either of you guys check any of this stuff out?
Yeah, I watched a couple of the videos. It looks like it's going to be very War for Cybertron E with some improvements, and it takes place between 2 and 3. So
yeah, it much better than Revenge of the Fallen's game.
Yeah,
story wise, because that one was trying to be the story of the movie, and
That happened. That happened on the first movie game too.
Yeah,
where they're
yeah.
just trying to adapt the movie as fast as they could.
And Revenge of the Fallen ended up being a better story than the actual movie was, in my opinion, at least.
Well, that's often the problem that makes movie games bad, is that they're rushed, and then you're trying to fit the 2 hours of movie into 10 hours or 12 hours of gameplay and just don't work.
Yeah, and most of the time you come out, a lot of these games come out before the movie does.
Yeah, so if you have the whole movie out in a game, that can, in a way, kind of mess up people's movie experience because they'll see an inferior summary of the movie, basically. I think it looks great myself. I'm really pumped that it's the War for Cybertron team. Maybe not the exact team, but you know that developer, that engine seems to be at work.
Yeah, yeah. That according to one of the things that I saw, they've got a better, little bit better. What am I looking for? Graphics on some things. Some of the shaders are better, or something like that, it looks a little bit better.
Yeah, that flying level looked fantastic.
Where they land on the back of Stratosphere and.
Yeah, and that horizon line was beautiful. I really liked it. Omegas, how much of this stuff did you check out?
I checked out the trailer that IGN threw up.
Yeah, that's primarily what I saw.
Yeah. It's hard for me because I still... Unfortunately, since I have no next-gen console, I have not gotten to play War for Cybertron yet.
Mm.
So, you know, it looks like a pretty solid shooter, which I know is the big genre these days.
Well, technically the biggest genre these days is military first person.
Yeah.
So there's an aspect of military to it, I suppose.
it still looks like a pretty solid game. It's nice to know that it is being done by the same studio as War for Cybertron, and they are noting how improved it is over War for Cybertron, which is already a good game.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely.
I'm so hopeful this actually bucks the trend of these horrible video game adaptations.
Yeah, well, having the War for Cybertron guys on there is, I think, one of the biggest boons it can have, because as far as I can tell, it means they're not trying to build an engine from scratch in a short amount of time. If anything, the only thing that I suppose could be seen as a negative is I suspect the gameplay will be pretty close to War for Cybertron without a ton of tweaks because of the timeline, but that's not really a bad thing.
Yeah.
And again, that's just my speculation. I'm probably completely off, but I'm pretty hopeful about it.
Well, I think it'll also be good if it does act as like kind of an authorized bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Where they know, I mean, obviously they know where movie 2 ends and they know where movie 3 begins, and to be able to legitimately be something that's going to follow between the two of them, not like the IDW comics end up being of, you know, oh no, this is supposed to take place between number 1 and number 2, except for it goes in a completely different direction that has nothing to do with anything, but it's official.
Yeah, I am cool if this thing nullifies Rising Storm myself. Not to say I think Rising Storm's a horrible book. It's actually much better than I was expecting, but it is still, to me, a very weak lead-up miniseries, and it's doing some very questionable stuff that I would not mind if this game kind of nullifies to some degree. I wouldn't feel bad if I went, guess what, you can skip Rising Storm and just play a decent video game instead.
Yeah.
But, you know, Rising Storm, let me say this. For all the Magno art, some of the story stuff in it is pretty cool. But aside from the Magno art, that I was telling General Techno this on Twitter, the dialogue of Rising Storm is kind of weak, I'm finding. I don't have it near me, but there's some lines. Like, Shockwave has a line in a flashback, which is one of the worst lines I've read in a long time. Something like, "To me, your pain is a symphony, so let me play you." And I was like, are you serious? I was just sitting there biting my finger going like, oh, wow. He said that, didn't he? All those words. Wow. But this video game, I'm looking forward to trying out. So let's see how it does. Was there any other spoiler news that came up that you guys wanted to talk about that isn't from the Amazon leak? Or... those were the main ones that I saw.
Those were the big ones, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just hitting up Transformers 3 news and
giving it a skim. Yeah, looking at that stuff, it's all light and toy stuff, so.
And, you know, Movie Forum given that people can, for even just a couple of minutes, have a topic up there that can be a spoiler blowout. I am not touching the movie forum right now.
Yeah.
There was a chat with Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park.
Yeah.
While wearing the King costume, Mr. Shinoda felt as though he was in some sort of weird Mad Max thing. Transformers! Okay. That's our spoiler section! Thank you all for listening to the podcast this week. Hope you enjoyed it. That's been myself. That's been our early departee, Lupus. That's been Aaron, and that's been Omegas. Do you guys feel gorgeous?
Yeah.
Why does it take you so long to answer? Why does that take you so long to
comedy?
Oh, all right. Did you know we have a hotline? It's true, we do. And you can call it and leave us a voicemail at area code 318-775-9830. That's area country code 1, area code 318-775-9830. That's country code. Is it country code? Is that what I'm thinking of? Because it certainly it certainly isn't 011. That would be European. 318-775-WTF0. Until next time, talk to you later. And you're not going to talk to us because we're an audio recording that you can't actually speak to right now. But
kind of only goes one way.
Yeah. Good night.
What the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.